Markets looking at that WASDE report of yesterday, talking some higher numbers and a cutback in yields as well when it comes to acre-wise for soybeans. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. So we've had 24 hours or plus to absorb all that information. Arlen Suderman joins us today with StoneX. And you and others have been talking about the high potential for corn. And so far, USDA is agreeing with what you guys are doing.
Yeah, exactly right. You look at this market, and yeah, we had a big break in the price yesterday, but so far yesterday's lows have held for December corn. And it goes along with what I was saying even ahead of yesterday. I believe that the money, the big money in the market, was not pricing in the 184.4 bushbreaker pre-report estimate. I believe it was pricing in something close to 188. And I think that had we not had a change in acres, we would have finished yesterday unchanged or higher. The big surprise was the rise in acres, 2.1 million acres increase in planted acres for corn, 2.5 million acre decline for planted acres for soybeans. That was the big surprise. That's what we priced in yesterday, and we're actually recovering. I'm not ready to declare a bottom in this market. You can't do that after one day. But I think yesterday's low now becomes a key level to watch for December corn. And I think the trade now looks to next week's Midwest crop tour to see if it sees anything to indicate this crop may be bigger. And if it doesn't, then we very well may move forward and start focusing on the demand side of the balance sheet.
So where are we demand-wise at this point? Because so many different plates are still spinning in the air on trade.
Yeah, exactly right. On corn, that's the easier one to answer. On corn, you can justify USDA increased corn exports by 200 million bushels yesterday. I can understand that. And if you're going to build that case, you primarily build it around the fact that 30,000 head of cattle per week were coming across the border out of Mexico to be fed in U.S. feedlots prior to the border being closed back in May. Now those cattle have to be fed in Mexico, so they need the corn to do that. So we have to ship the corn down there. We have to export the corn to Mexico for them to feed the cattle, and then they can send the beef back up here. That makes sense. But if you're going to do that, then you can't have as high a feed number. 30,000 head per week not being fed in the United States is going to reduce our feed usage, and USDA increased feed usage by 250 million bushels. So I think exports went up 200 million, feed usage went up 250 million bushels. I think USDA was just trying to hold down the ending stocks number. I understand that. I get that. I expect that feed number to end up going down, but probably not till January when we get the first quarterly stocks report. And then I think USDA is hoping maybe the yield will come down by then to give them a little bit of cover for reducing the feed number.
Wanted to look at soybeans real quick a little bit more because they noticed an error, is what I understand and what I was reading earlier this morning, in those acre numbers, which caused the reduction that we saw for planting. Come as a surprise for you?
Well, I expected soybean acres to come down a little bit because of the late wheat harvest reducing double crop soybean planting. But that's not what this was. Maybe a little piece of it was, but it was basically that the June 1 farmer survey on acreage did not pick up the acreage change to the extent that actually happened. And what picked it up was the FSA. This is the farmer certifications at the FSA office. And that data is now insufficiently for them to be able to see the error of their June survey, and they were able to correct the acreage. Much bigger acreage adjustment than what was reported on June 30th. And so they made that adjustment then in the August report. There will be some additional minor adjustments, but they shouldn't be anything that are that significant relative to changes in yield.
So let's jump over to the livestock side. And we talked a little bit of cattle from a feed perspective. But, man, the Nebraska cash cattle price is on fire this today, $4 higher when they compare it to last week.
And that's what keeps on driving the board higher. The market keeps thinking, oh, it can't go any higher, so we have a collapse like what we had at the end of last week, and then the cash market drags it back higher. You mentioned the cash trade. The feeder cattle trade has been very high, strong as well. Expectations of cheap feed and very low numbers, And without the cattle coming out of Mexico, the demand for feeder cattle has been strong. So both fat cattle and feeder cattle cash markets are what's driving the board right now, dragging it reluctantly higher.
So what are we going to see for demand-wise? I mean, obviously, some say we're in this little trend. A week and a half ago, we dealt with this, and we saw the crash on Friday. Are we starting to see that ebb and flow every week and a half?
That seems to be the pattern now, because the higher altitude we get with these prices, the thinner the air, the more nervous the money is. And there's a tremendous amount of speculative money in this market. Those who are involved directly in the cattle industry are very actively hedging their risks in these markets. They're very nervous as well. Someday that high is going to be, and there's going to be pain inflicted. We just don't know at what level it will be.
All right. Thanks so much. Arlen Sudeman joining us today. Give us a breakdown to what we see in a market trade for a Wednesday. And as always, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That is a version of the Wednesday market wrap-up here on the American Ag Network.